Welcome to the PVN College Podcast, where our goal is to grow students in the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In today's episode, we're going to talk about women in the church. Our guest today is Nora Hale. Nora holds a BA from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and an MA from Southern Evangelical Seminary. She served as Dean of Women at Southern Evangelical Seminary, where she led instruction in the Women's Ministry Certificate Program. Nora has spoken on multiple university campuses, covering topics such as Why Gender Matters, Gender, Scripture, Authority, and Reality, and Does Christianity Oppress Women? Nora, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me today.
This has got to be, you know, it seems like a pretty advanced setting, but don't be intimidated. I know the podcast thing might be something new to you. Just kidding. How many podcasts do you think you've done, or interviews on this topic do you think you've done over the years?
I really don't know. I know that as the Dean of Women, I was pretty much the person who did these.
Keep you busy,
so,
yeah.
So whenever they needed it, they would walk by and say, "Oh, today we need this."
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Well, and then obviously the list of accomplishments is just so awesome. I'm super thankful because it seems like you're obviously extremely qualified to talk about this issue. Is this an issue that you think is something that you're particularly passionate about? Did you just kind of find that this was something you enjoyed walking through with people? How did that happen?
I think that there were many things that God pulled together, but mostly I think it started with my own life experience and coming to know Christ, mm-hmm. then seeing the value of Scripture and seeing the value of salvation and wanting to walk it out, mm-hmm. you know, and then being in a seminary setting where I got to really dig into the subject.
Well, and to your point, I think walking out salvation looks very similar for men and women, mm-hmm. but there are also ways where it looks very different. And maybe that is kind of where we should start. So, you know, today we're going to walk through something that I think is so important. And like a lot of important things, there's a lot of controversy around it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is women in the church, mm-hmm. ministry, gender roles, life. It really is such a controversy. And maybe, you know, this isn't in the email, so just something that we can chat about. But why is this such a controversial issue? Why has it, I don't know that it's become this way. Has it always been this way? Why is this such a controversial issue of women's roles or gender roles in general in society and in the church?
I think it stems from the whole idea of what it means to be under the order of God.
Yeah.
And, of course, the first thing that's going to be attacked is the order that God established in design.
Yes.
And, of course, He knows best. He knows what the good is, mm-hmm. and we don't.
Right.
We think we do, but our choice is always the lesser good when we do it outside of His design.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And just to immediately jump into the theological, one of the things that I've heard often, and I think I agree with it, is, you know, people will ask sometimes, why did Satan in the garden, why does he go for Eve first? And mm-hmm. now Adam was there 100%,
right.
but the dialogue is with Eve.
That's right.
And would you say that one of the reasons Satan is going to Eve to make the decision to pass this along is because he's trying to attack this order that God has established right from the get-go?
Oh, absolutely. Even the names that he uses for male and female show that we are distinct.
Mm.
The woman is open.
Mm-hmm.
The man is called to remember something that God told him. And so what we see is the one who's more relational is drawn in to a conversation.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. Well, we don't have 11 hours, which is what I would love. So, let's just start with, you know, a softball, an easy kind of get you rolling here. Nora, does the Bible oppress women? Does the Bible oppress women? Let's chat about that.
Wow. Great question. Great question.
Just, you know, you can answer real succinct and easily.
We need about 20 hours on that.
But zip this up for us, Nora.
Let me state it this way. How about, does the Bible teach unjust treatment of women.
Mm.
Okay? Categorically, no.
Okay? Got it.
No. Does the Bible describe sinful behavior? Mm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why? Because Scripture matches reality.
Right.
It tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. It's real.
I think you're right. And so dig deeper in what you said. So this is exactly right. And I'm going to take what you said, rephrase it, and you tell me if this is what you said. Because I think we're on the same page, and I totally agree. There's a difference between teaching something and showing something. Does the Bible show instances of women being unjustly treated? Yes. Does it teach that that is what we should do? Absolutely not. Is that what you said, correct?
That's what I'm saying. In fact, it shows sinful behavior on everyone's behalf.
Yes, yes.
You know, on mm-hmm. everyone's behalf. So
100%.
And thinking about that, to go there, we have to know that God's good design was put in place so that it was, number one, it was operational, functional, it made humanity flourish. And of course, whenever we choose the lesser good,
mm-hmm.
we are sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the misuse of our power, our limited power as stewards.
Right, right. And so the Bible shows examples of mankind continually going against God's good design.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same thing as saying that the Bible teaches
that
we go against God's design. An example that I heard from one pastor one time that I really thought was a great point. And we can swap out the issue. So the pastor used the example of polygamy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Polygamy is all over the Old Testament. I mean, it's like it was just something you did, unfortunately. It was all over the Old Testament. So people will look at that and say, well, the Bible teaches polygamy. And the point that the pastor said was, if you're trying to sell something,
mm-hmm.
if you're trying to sell a vacuum, I'm not going to tell you about how the tube always clogs, about how it's not as good on hard surfaces. I'm not going to show you the negative parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going to show you the positive if I'm trying to sell you that.
Yeah.
When the Bible shows polygamy in the Old Testament, it's never, and they had multiple wives and lived happily ever after. It's never that. It's always a disaster.
That's right.
And so the Bible isn't trying to sell polygamy. It's showing the disasters that ensued when they went against God's good design.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say that the Bible does the same thing, to your point, when it shows women being treated unjustly or unfairly?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I go back to the whole idea that I want to see that the Bible is reporting to me the way things actually happened,
mm-hmm.
because history tells me that my faith is a historical faith,
yeah.
that the Mosaic Covenant came in to give Israel boundaries, stronger boundaries, to have a healthier society, but it was never the perfect covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect covenant was coming with Christ. He would be the one who showed us how to get out of our sinfulness. Law only shows us that we are and we are in need. So I would say all the things that the Old Testament tells me, I can go, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I see that. I see that. And I see where God is showing me the results of that
mm-hmm.
and then how he is telling me and prescribing for me to walk.
Yeah.
So I won't fall into that same choosing of the lesser good.
Right, right. 100%. 100%. So we've established that the Bible's teaching is what is good for both men and women, that God's design in Scripture is good. And when we see examples in Scripture of sin, which is the word we should use, of
mm-hmm.
whether that's sin towards men or sin towards women or sin towards children, that's not the Bible endorsing those
Absolutely.
Things, but the Bible is real. It's a real story, and this is really what happened. And it's pointing to, like you said, our need for a Savior, our need for, and maybe this is it fair to say that part of salvation is Jesus helping us see God's good design
Absolutely.
For men and women in the church. In light of that, Nora, that brings us to our second question. How can, so a woman is wanting to get involved in her church, serve in her church, or maybe even just attend. I mean, it's we can kind of go all over the map on this one. How can a woman maximize serving and growing in her local church? What should she do?
Well, first of all, what an awesome, wonderful thing when a woman comes to Christ.
Yes.
A girl, a woman, a man, anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about the redeemed female steward,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
I was created, fallen, redeemed.
Yeah, that's salvation, right? Gotcha.
So now that I begin to understand that I've been forgiven, past, present, future, I want to walk in ways that are new, as a new self, as the transformed person. And so there's only one way to do that, to get to know Him, the author of my salvation. That is key. There's no substitute for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting into His Word, enjoying the fellowship of other Christians, learning how to pray. Because, I mean, I don't know how to pray, you know, as a new believer. I don't know. It seems I can just talk to God. What does that mean? And then I go and I look at what Paul tells us, why we have to get to know Christ, because in Him is all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. We're not going to find it anywhere else. And Paul tells them to pray that their love may abound so that they will have real knowledge and discernment. So they will know, so that I will know how to walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord, that I would be able to do the works He's prepared for me beforehand. Well, that's what I want to be a part of. You know, Christianity is not a self-help religion.
Right.
It's not, let me find myself in Christianity. No, it's, I've been given something for everything, for life and godliness. Now I've got to learn to walk it out. And so getting to know Him, number one, okay? Number two is, I'm a woman, so I have a strong proclivity to nurture.
Okay?
So one of the first things we do is learn to bring someone alongside of us. You know, that's just what we women do. And, you know, I would say a redeemed woman learns to do that, and Titus 2 tells us to do that so we can teach what is good, not which is lesser good, not which that which misses the mark, not sin, but leads us on to the good design that we have as females. And there's so many endless numbers of roles that we fulfill. But that knowing Him, knowing His Word, enjoying fellowship with Him is going to open those doors for us. Those are the key things. And then we have I'm thinking of, I know many women who I was in seminary with, having the opportunity to serve as teachers, missions, discipling, but also, you know, giving, leading younger children, you know, to Christ, also their own children. You know, we women, there's a strength that we bring to the church that we need to cultivate within the church. You know, teaching English as a second language was something I got involved in, public relations. Goodness, I can't name all the ministries that women have been instrumental in and in the scripture, supporting Jesus, supporting Paul. They were there. And that's where we need to be.
100%, 100% wanting to lean into all these different places. So let's close out with one of these, with a little bit of a hot button topic. So in terms of, you know, like you said, Christianity is not this idea of let me find myself. There is an individual aspect to it, of course, but really Christianity is about finding our role in the larger part, in Christ's body.
That's right.
And in terms of roles, so you have a college girl who is looking to pursue the pastorate, okay? A female looking to pursue the pastorate in a local church, or looking to pursue that pathway. How would you start a conversation with her? What would you speak to her about in terms of, is this a path that should be pursued? What do we do here? What's going on?
Well, my first question is a question I ask myself. So where am I getting my guidance from?
Okay.
And, you know, understanding that, you know, we can always make a choice. We have the freedom to do that. What we don't have a freedom to do is the consequences of that choice.
Okay.
So when we're looking at God's design, okay, mm-hmm. and we know that, 2 Timothy 3:15 or 16 says all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking. I've been there. correcting and training in righteousness. I need it every day. So where am I going to go? To the owner's manual, mm-hmm. in the New Testament, is where I'm going to get my teaching on that. And thankfully, I get it. Mm. So I don't have to take a role that I'm not offered.
Right.
Okay? Mm. I have the role of, you know, a woman as a, I am a wife, I am a mother, I teach, but I'm not offered the role of pastor.
Mm.
Okay? And what I love in 1 Timothy, Timothy being the younger, being taught by Paul.
Sure.
He says, Paul writes to him and says, I write so that you will know how one should act in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth.
Mm.
So I'm asking, does my life support the truth?
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want the good that flourishes, that makes the church healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Timothy 3 then says, for the man who wants to aspire to the role of overseer, pastor, shepherd, there's some qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the qualifications is it's not totally based on his giftedness. That's not even mentioned, actually, first.
Right.
It's his proper character.
Right.
Because he's going to oversee the body of Christ. Okay? So what is that role? And it says in 1 Timothy 3, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God?
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Yeah.
Okay? So really that role that he has as head of his own home is actually going to let him work out things in his life,
mm-hmm.
which is a more important role, actually, than his calling as a pastor. Because he has initiated a family and he's shown and proven that he can care for them as he should, that he can lay down his life and care for them.
Yeah.
So honestly, you know, when I look at that, I say, you know, I want to hear well done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to choose a lesser good.
Yeah.
Did God really say, Nora, you can be a pastor? No, he really didn't say that.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things that I wouldn't do, and there's a lot of things that I would try that I maybe shouldn't try, but I don't get to call the consequences of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying, you know, I've given you great design, definition.
Mm-hmm.
Walk it out. You want to hear well done? You know, I want to hear well done.
Yeah.
And the word oppression is used a lot today.
Right.
But I want to say to young women, being oppressed is a vastly different idea than being subject to God.
Hmm.
It's vastly different.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is take the joy in every one of us who are believers, male and female, being subject, ordered under,
mm-hmm.
ordered under God's good design.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And that design, to your point, that design is what, like we talked about in the very beginning, that design is what brings flourishing. It's
yes.
better for the individual. It's better for the church when we are under God's good design. I have no issue at all thinking of college students who might listen to this saying, whoa, I've never heard it like that before. I would love to know more about these issues, whether it be about specific roles, whether it be about God's design. Any thoughts, Nora? I know we're kind of off the cuff here, but mm-hmm. this is one of my favorite parts. Books or other things that you have talked about online that people could check out? Where would you, if a college student came up to you and said, I heard the podcast, mm-hmm. I'd love to dig deeper, but I can't get lunch with you because I live somewhere else. Where would you point them?
Well, there are quite a few good books out there, but I think, you know, one little tiny short one by mm-hmm. John Piper, What's the Difference?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Male and female, What's the Difference? That's not even 100 pages long, okay?
A college kid's dream
there. Yeah, and then I have done podcasts. I've done talks at the National Apologetics Conference, which are online at ses.edu.
Perfect.
And they're under the podcast. One of them's called Women in Ministry. But, you know, not to tout my views, but they were interviews on this subject. Also, you know, other books. Now, if someone's really into being really into it.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a wonderful book called Male and Female, or actually Men and Women in Christ.
Yep.
By Stephen Clark. As I've said, I probably have purchased over 12 copies of this book and given maybe 10 of them away and marked up the others.
Yes.
You want to know the history of women in the church and our awesome privilege to serve Christ? Read that book.
Okay.
You know, it's about 800 pages long. but even the footnotes are good.
Yes.
That's for someone who wants a scholarly look at it.
The deep dive. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But again, they're short books. And I think there's another one written recently by John Piper on marriage. It's short also. If you look up marriage under him, you would see that title too. It doesn't come to my mind immediately.
Sure. I know Momentary Marriage has been out for a while.
Okay, that might be the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. We can check it out.
But again, you know, there's more academic books. Mm-hmm. A fresh look at 1 Timothy 2, you know. Mm-hmm. That's one that I like. Why do I say I like these? Because I need accurate information.
Right.
What I don't want is someone tell me how they feel about how they're gifted.
Yeah.
We're all gifted by the Holy Spirit to perform certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all people in Christ are gifted.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily that we all are going to fulfill the same role. I'm not a husband. I'm not a father.
Sure.
You know? And having definition is wonderful.
Yeah. 100%. Nora, this has been so helpful. Such a great, like I said, you know, if only we had about 3 or 4 more days in a row without food to talk through this. But this is a great way to get people who want to know more and giving them further resources. So helpful. Nora, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
For more information on this topic, message us on Instagram at PVN College. Listen to the PVN College podcast through Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Watch this podcast on Instagram TV at PVN College or on our YouTube page at Pleasant Valley North. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time.